This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to www.ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, I'm here with Phil Ryan. He's the General Manager and Chief Winemaker at Mount Pleasant. How are you, Phil?
Well, thanks, Chris.
Just thought we'd touch on a wee bit about Mount Pleasant, and because you're actually part of McWilliams, aren't you?
That's right. Mount Pleasant is a wholly owned subsidiary of McWilliams Wines. Mount Pleasant dates back as a vineyard to about 1860 or so. Developed as a winery by the brand Mount Pleasant by Maurice O'Shea. And by 1940, McWilliams had purchased the company from Maurice O'Shea, but he stayed on as general manager and winemaker and chief winemaker.
So we're in sunny New South Wales, here in Hunter Valley. What's so special about Hunter Valley?
Well, the Hunter Valley is a wonderful place. It's got great lifestyle, of course, but it has a very unique viticultural aspect. And we found Semillon and Shiraz in particular just found their home here over the last 170 years or so. It is a natural valley. The valley is about 180 kilometres wide and about 200 kilometres deep, just north of Sydney, only a two-hour drive up the track. It has a unique aspects and climate here, which does help in producing these classic age wines.
What are those aspects?
In the afternoons here, we do get a lot of cloud cover, so we have a natural cooling effect from the ocean. We have dry winters leading into relatively dry spring, so the opposite of most viticultural areas. But we do get glorious sunshine through the spring and summer. Our grapes ripen very quickly and produce wonderful flavours.
I've spoken to a few people in the past and read a wee bit about Hunter Valley, and they say you get sort of rain during the picking. Is that a major hassle?
Well, it is. It keeps you honest. The great thing about winemakers say if you can make wine in the Hunter Valley, you can make wine anywhere in the world, because all the viticultural challenges are here during the growing season.
Okay. And New South Wales has got some new areas that are really starting to open up now, aren't they?
Lots of things happening in New South Wales, right along what we call the Great Dividing Range, which is the mountain range which goes from Victoria up into Queensland. Very ancient soils, and we're seeing places like Orange, into hilltop areas around Young, Tumbarumba, Cowra, and a few others where these along this mountain range producing really exciting styles of wine.
The reason we're here really is to get our head around Hunter Valley Semillon. It's not always been called Semillon, has it?
No, it's had a very long, checkered and really confusing background. We looked at our first English settlers here, and we believe they sourced Semillon as cuttings from South Africa around Constantia, where Semillon had been planted about 200 years earlier by the Dutch. And when it arrived in Australia, it had lost its name viticulturally and was called here Shepherd's Riesling, named after the first nurseryman in Sydney in the Darling Harbour area. And from there it came into the Hunter Valley as Shepherd's Riesling. And later on its name was changed to Hunter Valley Riesling. And it wasn't until about 1960 that we actually discovered that we weren't growing a form of Riesling at all. We were growing actually Semillon. So Riesling was the name it had for over 100 years. And coupled with that, we even called it Chablis, Hock and White Burgundy. So we've done everything possible to confuse everybody about the stuff.
You guys are known for aging your Semillons. What's going on with Semillon as it ages? And we're going to taste a couple of Semillons in a moment.
The joy of Semillon is it's a variety which does lend itself to bottle ageing. And right through its whole life, from a very young pup when it's first made, it has this incredible freshness and limey, zesty, citrus aromas and flavours. And as it matures, it just develops into something unique in the wine world. No one else can produce a style of wine like what Semillon can do in bottle aging. This is all done without any oak interference. It's just purely a wine that's fermented in tank and then bottled. And then over the next 10, 20 years even, or even longer, the wine ages and matures gracefully, and the flavours just grow and grow, and they become nothing like what the wine starts. So it has a great path.
Your Mount Pleasant Elizabeth, you were talking earlier about it being released at quite different times. Do you want us to walk through? Let's taste these.
Well, we should start with the 2005, which is our young, what we call our classic Semillon. And that is, if you like, the baby Elizabeth, if you like. It's not sold as Elizabeth, but it's just a very current vintage, young, fresh, and it's all that limey, zesty characters. on the nose. There's even hints of herbaceousness there, mm-hmm. grassy hints, etc.
Yeah, you can almost confuse it as a savvy from a warm climate.
Exactly, Sauvignon Blanc, that draws you to the wine. I love these aromas. They're magnificent with food, and also it's a great wine as an aperitif.
A little bit fatter than the mouth than the Sauvignon.
Yes, and that is the exactly what Sauvignon will deliver, because it has much more flavour construction on the palate than Sauvignon Blanc. People who blend Sauvignon with Sauvignon Blanc do that to get the best of Sauvignon, which gives the Sauvignon Blanc the foundation and the breadth and the more fruit flavour.
Let's try the next one.
Now go to our current release, Elizabeth. This is a five-year-old wine. And this has been the company philosophy to give our Sauvignon some bottle age before we release it. So these wines are bottled straight after production. After they finish fermentation, they go from tank into bottle. And then they're matured in our cellars for 5, 6, even longer years to allow these flavours to develop. You see the colour has changed now. There's a slight more deepening yellow. Still that lime, sort of a greenish tinge in the wine, which again speaks of quality. And the aroma is now very vastly different to what we've looked at in the first wine. Yeah. You're now seeing nuts and toast and honey and lanolin. Again, the palate is mouth-filling. Lovely crisp acidity that finishes these wines, and that acidity that keeps these wines alive.
It tastes like there's no malolactic in there. Has it had malolactic?
We avoid that like the plague. Malolactic in a Sauvignon actually destroys the structure of the wine, and it flattens it and dulls the wine. The important thing that with Sauvignon is we pick it as a variety quite early. It's picked at about 10 or 11 Beaumé, which results in about 10 or 11% alcohol. So the wines are relatively low in alcohol, which means you can drink more, which is a pretty positive thing. This acidity is the key to these wines producing these lovely fresh flavours, lovely zingy flavours.
Okay, and the next wine is the...
1997, which we now call the Museum Elizabeth. So what we've done is the same wine as the previous one. It just is held in bottle, stored for a longer period of time. We release most of the wine, and some a few thousand cases are kept back for that final release as a museum wine. This, again, is show that there's life after the first release. The wine still has further maturation to undergo and still is developing. It would suit different sorts of food.
The acidity is still there, but it's not as lively. Mm-hmm. It's really toned down a wee bit, hasn't it?
And the palate is very soft, and it's almost gives the impression of slight sweetness. All these wines are bone dry. What that is just the further development of the wine gives it a broader and more developed, almost a honey, concentrated honey character again.
It's not as crisp as the other wines, is it? So something I've never really got my head around is winemakers almost tell me the pH level or the acidity of the level doesn't change, or even the total acidity doesn't change. But as wines get older, they always feel like they're losing that acidity. What's going on there?
Yeah, this is, again, the great joy of Sauvignon, that it retains its freshness. As I said earlier, we pick this wine when they are lower in sugar than most varieties, so you have a higher natural acidity in the grapes. Also in the grapes, in the juice, this means that the pH... which is a chemical term, which is sort of more or less a measure of acidity, is a very low level of pH. So that tells you then there's a crispness in the juice. There's a natural inbuilt prevention of oxidation due to this low pH, and also prevents microbial spoilage. So the wine has in it, if you like, inbuilt guards against some of the reasons that wines will prematurely age or be spoilt bacterially. So the natural acidity and the low pH are two very key ingredients into producing a wine which will then mature, as you see with these wines here. The next wine we're looking at is a 1994. So this has been in bottle 12 years. And again, that low pH and that naturally high acidity has kept that wine in and allowed it to age so beautifully. Very concentrated toast character.
The toast is coming through a lot more now than maybe the other ones. Mm-hmm. Honeyness isn't as much either, though.
No.
I'd expect the wine to get more and more honeyed as it gets older.
Yeah. But here you're seeing it. Actually, there's a lovely story on this vintage, the 1994 vintage. For those people living in Sydney at the time, we're quite close to Sydney, was a very horrific bushfires at New Year. And the bushfires were right around this area, and Sydney was ringed by the fires, and we had no sun for 7 days, and the place was full of smoke and ash, and we picked these grapes about a week or so after the bushfires were extinguished by some rain. And people always say there's a sort of smoky character in the wine as well.
I've heard that. I've heard all sorts of...
But I put it down to, again, the natural ageing characters of Semillon in the bottle, which is that strong, toasty, nutty character that comes through in that wine.
There's definitely a good colour change from the young 2005 through to the 12-year-old museum. It's in Museum Elizabeth, 1994.
Again, they're very attractive colours too, aren't they? They're really
quite bright.
Very bright. Yeah, the wines actually have a real they're almost luminous. You know, they're lovely, bright shine to them. Yeah.
Reminds me of a Saturday morning after a hard night out. I suppose I'm not allowed to say that.
Yeah, I can share that with you. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, the next wines we've got, the next four wines, where are they from?
These are from our Lovedale Vineyard. So the first group of wines we looked at is the Elizabeth brand, which is quite a significant brand in terms of its size, and that is sold domestically right around Australia and also internationally. The next range we're about to look at now is what we call our Lovedale Semillon. This is a single vineyard site, whereas the previous Elizabeth was off multi-vineyards in the Colburn area. Here we're looking at one individual vineyard that was planted by the great Maurice O'Shea back in 1946.
How old are the vines then?
The vines are 60 years old this year.
60-year-old Semillon.
And from that, this particular vineyard has had tremendous response in wine shows and also amongst the wine drinking public because of the quality that vineyard consistently produces year in, year out. Being a single vineyard site, you're getting the same activity and the same style every year. The soil is very light and sandy, and it's quite silty soil, very poor looking soil. And in fact, when it was first planted, Morris struggled with these vines trying to get them to grow, and the local people, the vineyard hands who worked for him, said that the soil was so poor on Lovedale that even the rabbits were carrying a lunchbox. That was the sort of response that the soil was giving him. But Morris understood terroir, and he wanted very low pH soils, acidic soils, to give this lovely flinty character in the wine, which you'll see in the wine as we look at them. The 2006 is the first wine there, which we'll be releasing that towards the end of the year to our members. And that's as fresh as Semillon can come.
It's not too sharp or anything yet. It's not angular or real citrusy coming through.
Yep. People say that young Semillons are too acidic. These wines aren't acidic.
No, no.
They're beautiful. It's just, again, a matter of choosing site selection, getting the grapes that have the flavour. It has the acidity in there, but the grapes have got the flavour. And to give this, again, strong grapefruit flavours there, even. And even a slight tropical
character. Yeah, I was going to say, that's the main thing I'm getting, is a lot more tropical than I would have thought.
And that's what we're trying to sell or show people now of Semillon. It's a great wine when it's young, but it's a fantastic wine when it's when it ages. So, unlike any other variety, Semillon has the potential to be consumed at different stages of its life and show incredibly different flavours and characters. The next one, the 2005, we're very excited by the quality of that vintage. It's had wonderful reviews, and both domestically and internationally. In fact, Matthew Jukes was over here early in the year, and he chose that Semillon for his Top 100 release in London in May. And his comment was that this particular vineyard is the greatest Semillon vineyard in the world. So that was his response to the quality of that wine. So it's a very exciting style and a great wine to drink now.
Certainly, it tastes more citrusy on the palate than even the 2006. Is that a change in the vintage or...?
Variation of vintage. We can't control what happens in the vineyard. All we can do is look after the vines and make sure that they're growing correctly and comfortably, and the flavour all comes from what happens during the growing season. So depending on the weather patterns, the rainfall, the sunshine, etc. And the 05 was a very different growing season to 06, so you see the difference there in the flavour and the taste.
Sure. And the next one is the
2000 was a very cool vintage. In fact, if people who were here in Sydney for the end of 1999 leading on to the millennium, post-Christmas that year, it was very cold. In fact, I was down at Sydney Harbour that particular for New Year's Eve and out on a friend's boat, and we had to wear rugby jumpers. It was so cold. So you can imagine Sydney being cold on a New Year's Eve, not normally.
No.
And that weather pattern then reflected up here. And so the characters in that wine when I was young showed a lot more Sauvignon Blanc characters, almost gooseberry characters when I was young, because of that cool last two weeks or so of the growing season. But a wine with great potential. In Sydney this year, the International Top 100, that was judged the best wine of the whole show. Any variety, any age, and was also judged with food. It was judged as the greatest wine of the whole show.
Oh, very nice. It's definitely got more of those honeyed notes coming through as you progress. You know, the first 2006, you know, it's real, for me it was mainly tropical fruit coming through, but now we're starting to get into some really aged characteristics coming in.
Yeah,
the
wine's starting to grow now, and that's a wine with a great future.
How long do you think Sémillon is good to last for?
Well, we don't know. And in the past, Sémillon has been controlled by the method of closure. And I believe now we're moving into screw cap with these wines, and there is potential for these wines to, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years, who knows?
Okay. Do you think you need to give them a minimum aging? They're tasting quite nice young. They're a very different wine after maybe 7, 8 years in bottle.
Exactly. I don't like to dictate the age of the wine you should drink it. Sémillon has such potential to drink it at so many different ages, because the flavours are all changing, so it becomes a choice by choice. People who like mature wines have an opportunity here to buy a Sémillon and mature it in their cellars and watch it age and see the different flavours as they emerge over a long period of time. Or you can buy it as a young, fresh, upfront, fruit-driven wine and just sit out there in the sun and have it with a great plate of seafood. There's prawns or oysters or whatever. These wines suit food so beautifully.
Yeah, we had I had Elizabeth the other night with some seafood, and it was yummy. What about getting back to screw caps though? Like screw caps, obviously they don't let oxygen in, unlike a cork. So it's the wine is going to age differently.
It certainly does, and it's more controlled. You think about technology and where we've come. In our lifetimes, and how many changes we've seen. You know, we talked about computers and all this sort of thing. That's all in recent time. Cork has been a method of closure for bottles for 350 years. So in 350 years, we have done a lot of things to develop technologies which will certainly support packaging food. Wine is a food, so why shouldn't we use new concepts? And screw cap allows the has permeability of oxygen, surely has, but very slow, and the wines mature more evenly and more gracefully. Cork, as it gets older, as a natural product, it will slowly collapse.
The screw caps really have been around for the consumer for the last 5 years, perhaps. Have you done any trials earlier or anything
like
that?
Yes, the screw cap was invented by the French back in the 60s, so it's been around a long time. And we've been trialling screw caps since 1968, so we've had a pretty good handle on these wines. But the only problem we had when we launched screw cap, the consumers weren't interested in seeing it in premium wines. So happy to see it in the lower end products, but not in premium wines. In more recent years now, those consumers now are more wine savvy. They've come through several decades of wine consumption, and they can see the benefits of a seal which will retain the freshness and the flavour in the wine, rather than having a problem with possible cork taint or possible oxidation issues.
Okay, so you've been trialling this now for 40 years almost?
40 years. We're very comfortable with it. We know it works.
And, yeah.
But it is a marketing issue. You know, you can have the best invention in the world, but if you can't sell it, there's not much good to you. So we've had to slowly sell this and promote it and show people the benefits of using a different method of closure.
A lot of people I speak to about screw caps, they talk about, yeah, it's great for young, fresh wines, but the jury's out on aging wines on it. Mm-hmm. You guys age Sémillons, and you're quite happy with it as well. Mm-hmm. So Interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's like everything else. There's going to be new closures now invented. Now there's, now we're over the cork hurdle now. I think you'll see a lot of other products coming onto the market in the years ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So our children and their children, they're going to have a wonderful future in wine. Their wines are going to be an exemplary standard. Every bottle is going to be will mature beautifully, I'm sure.
Okay, and the last one we're tasting is the...
That's the 1996 Lovedale. This again is a museum release of the wine, and it's now been in bottle now some 10 years, and that really is a great statement of what this vineyard can do. In wine show terms, this has had a tremendous run. At our national wine show 2 years ago, this was judged against all competition in every variety and every vintage as the greatest wine of the whole show. So the wine is still living and again has many more years ahead of it.
Interesting that you mentioned the wine shows. You guys have, on your website, you say that you've won more awards than most other wine companies in Australia. Is that part of your philosophy for how you get awareness for your product, or how does that work?
Yes, the wine show system is a very important part of the Australian system over its evolution, say, the last 50 years. What the wine show system has allowed us to do is to give us all a benchmark, to give us all a comparative view of our wines. And what it's done is it's raised the bar all the time. It's actually, if you like, given the breed enhancement. And our company has got involved in this wine shows because we can see that wine shows give us not only a quality issue in terms of gold medals are fantastic to have on your wines. They give the consumer a great support in terms that they can be confident that when they buy a wine which a wine from our company which has gold medals on it, then they know that this wine is of a superior standard. It also gives support to the trade, because when they're selling the wines, that gives the staff also this confidence to sell a wine, knowing that it has reached a certain standard of judging.
So you think that things like shows are really good for raising sales through, you know, outlets, whether it be in the multiples, or, you know, like the supermarkets, yep, or maybe even the bottle shops.
Yes.
Do you think they're as important for maybe restaurant wines? Or
probably not in restaurants. I think if we're looking for when the consumer goes into a bottle shop and they see, say, a product like Lovedale there with four or five gold medals on it, that will certainly bring to their attention. People who, when they go into the restaurant, they may be then more wine savvy in terms of what they're looking for, brands, they're looking for styles. And they will pick off a wine list, they're looking for a brand they know or they've heard about or read about. We find that by targeting the wine press with our awards, which we've been the most successful exhibitor now for Sydney Wine Show, for instance, for 12 years in a row. So we target the wine press with that sort of information. That flows on then into magazines and in editorial, and that helps the person in the restaurant. The consumer going to a restaurant, they might see a label or a wine listed there, and they say, "Oh, I read about that," that has got support from the wine press, which is very important.
Phil, I've seen a lot of Sauvignon Blanc Semillons blends as I've been moving through Australia. Mm. What's going on there? I notice you guys don't seem to have a Savvy Semillon blend here.
I find those wines absolutely delicious, but we concentrate on making that style of wine, Sauvignon Blancs, SSBs we call them. Particularly over in Western Australia, Margaret River. Ideal place there where you get the intense gooseberry characters of the Sauvignon Blanc, and that's it's supported then by the lovely richness of the citrus and the grapefruit from the Semillon. So the Semillon then becomes, if you like, the foundation of the wine, and then the Sauvignon Blanc sits on top with all those wonderful aromas. Here in the Hunter Valley, we don't get those characters as a young wine, and there is some herbaceousness and gooseberry characters there, but the terroir of the Hunter Valley really does support just making straight Semillons, where you allow the wine to express itself as it does. You've seen here these young wines, and then you see how it then grows in the bottle over a period of time. And blending it with a Sauvignon Blanc from another area is not really the way to go with making this classic style. We're looking at strictly making classic Hunter Valley Semillon, which has a unique place in the world of wine, and it doesn't need Sauvignon Blanc. Whereas certainly other areas, those fresh gooseberry characters mixed with some Sauvignon, delicious drink.
Yeah, so the Sauvignon's finding a bit of fatness and width fatness, in the palate, yeah, and, you're getting that upfront punch with the Sauvignon.
So yeah, exactly. And they're the perfect partnership, those two. Particularly, we're very excited by the styles we're getting out of Margaret River, and they're very, very popular styles. And the two varieties just interblend magnificently, and they all the attributes of freshness and upfront aromas, and then down below you've got that that nice rich palate structure which gives it the flavour.
What about selling Sauvignon? Do you find it's tricky selling it? Whenever I'm in the UK, you talk to an Aussie in the wine industry, they go, "Oh, Hunter Valley Sauvignon, you know, can't get better than that." But then you never see anything that's older than the current vintage.
Sauvignon is definitely a hard sell, no question about it. It's a hand sell. Things are happening with Sauvignon internationally now. We're getting much better response. People who visit Australia come to the Hunter Valley, taste the wines. They go back with a whole new idea of what these wines are. And we are certainly doing much better now in our sales, particularly in the UK. The UK market has grown tremendously in the last few years because, again, they're getting away from possibly Australian Chardonnay, looking for what else is out there.
Yeah.
And we're poised there really with a great product which will meet that marketplace.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much for taking the time to see us, Phil.
Yeah, thank you. Pleasure.